Back to this critical question to Jordan Smith, who watches plenty of NBA basketball, so he is well-equipped. I know this is supposed to be a BOU discussion, but a quick deviation. Quick question, Jordan. What is the Lakers' biggest problem right now?
Ooh, that is a good question.
I'm on pins and needles.
I would say, I haven't seen a ton. I would say just a lack of chemistry and maybe size. What are those two?
Wow.
Either lack of size or just lack of chemistry of playing together.
That's neither of our points.
What?
Dave,
well, you're both wrong.
Dave is adamant that it is lack of shooting, although I can't make sense of his point because the Lakers are third in points per game.
That's fair. My point, I think we were agreeing, Matt. Overall, the Lakers just suck. but my point was, if you can't play defense, then you have to outscore people, and you need shooters to outscore people, and you need to be good from the three to outscore people, and they aren't. And so it's kind of a combo.
They can't really outscore people any more than they are. They're the third best offensive team.
Yeah, but they're 24 from three.
What was your answer?
My answer was the Lakers are the worst defensive team in the league. That's why they're struggling, straight up.
Well, defense is a part of chemistry, so I think I've got that down.
So you agree with me more than Dave is what you're saying.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Unbelievable. They're 24th in the league from three, man.
That is
both right.
It's no – we're not both right.
What's their offensive efficiency numbers? That's what I want to know.
They are third in total offense. As far as specifically efficiency, I'm not sure, but total offense, they're third. So,
well, this is a great start to the podcast. We're already arguing.
I love it. That's what I need more in my life, more controversy. All right. Shifting gears to BYU football.
Hey, guess what, guys?
What?
Real quick, do you know what the Lakers' record was last year after seven games without LeBron?
5-2.
3-4. They were a game better.
And you know what they were last year, Dave? Top 10 defensively, you bum. So take that.
So you're saying
LeBron teams historically start slow. Let's think. As a lifelong true. LeBron fan, this is not out of the ordinary.
You're right. I just got a razz bad about the
No,
Lakers.
You don't. You don't like LeBron. You don't like the Lakers. LeBron. You don't like any of that crap. Don't feed me that baloney on my own podcast.
Hey, I do like LeBron, but I can't stand the Lakers. I've never been shy about that. All right. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Okay. I want to start a BYU discussions off with a little story. Because I've thought long and hard about our last podcast and how down in the dumps I was and how negative I was. And that's probably not going to change, but I just want to tell the story anyways. So I was watching the Rams game. And there's a moment in the game, I don't know if you guys saw the highlights or saw the game, where Todd Gurley could have scored. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, if he had scored and they had kicked the extra point, they would have went up by 8. So it would have given the Packers
9.
It would have been 9? Okay.
Yeah, they're up 2, but he – yeah, go ahead. You tell the story.
Okay. I mean, that's not really a critical point to the story. But the point is he doesn't score. He takes a knee. They end up the time expires. They win the game. And afterwards they ask him, like, what he was doing. And he just gave, a ringing endorsement of Sean McVay and the culture and just says – we are totally buying into what we're doing here. There's no selfish attitudes. We're all about winning, yada, yada, yada. So I kind of thought about BYU football when he said that because there's been a lot of – from us, the fans, from the coaches, from the players even, I just don't feel like – I certainly am not bought into the program. I think there's a lot of players that don't buy in to the program right now either. And so – I think a lot of the dysfunction in BYU football right now is just a lack of culture and a lack of beliefs, not the right word, but I just sense that there's a lot of players that aren't buying into the schemes, to the culture. I mean, you name it. I just don't – I'm not bought in, and I don't feel like there's a lot of players that have either. So until that changes, I think we're going to see this roller coaster ride that we've been on for the last 2 years. And it's well documented how I think that we don't have the right guy for that change. I could be proven wrong, but that was just a little interesting point how the Rams, all their players, they have some really crazy personalities too, but they are just buying into the system, to the schematics, to the coach. And I don't think that is happening at all at BYU right now. So that's my opening statement.
Jordan, why don't you take it away, especially because I'm about to order at Dairy Queen.
All right, go ahead, Jordan.
I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. I don't feel quite as strongly as you do.
Right.
But I definitely see evidence of the things there. My biggest thing is I think that, yes, we need that culture and stuff needs to come from coaching. But I think that we need players to step up as leaders, and that's the thing I feel like we're missing. And that's pretty difficult.
Hi, yeah.
Can I get an Oreo Blizzard?
Talk over it, Dorkin. Talk over it.
Buttercup Blizzard and a small strawberry shake, please.
How am I supposed to talk?
That's small strawberry shake.
That's it. 548.
Great, thank you. Now we know what the Madsons get at Dairy Queen.
Anyway, I instead of putting all of that blame on the coaching staff, I would portion out a good chunk of that on the lack of leadership from players. As good and as much as I like Tanner Mangum, he was never the vocal leader. He wasn't Taysom, you know.
Right.
He wasn't the Max Hall. I feel like as much as we're missing that from the coaches, we're definitely missing that from the players. And I think that's one thing I do like about my mind just went blank. This is terrible podcasting. Quarterback, Zach Wilson. Do like his moxie and his competitive spirit, his confidence. I think he's someone with more time and more games will become a leader. But that I do feel there's not a player on the sideline that's, you know, rallying the troops, like, let's go. We're going to go get a touchdown right here. You know, like Max Hall, Pitta. I mean, we had lots of – as good as the coaching used to be, we also had players that would step up and would be coaches themselves. We did not have that last year.
Yeah. Before Dave jumps in, here's my – I don't disagree with you for the record. I don't think that we have any leadership from the players. However, my devil's advocate point would be – I don't know how much opportunity we're giving the players to be leaders. And what I mean by that is you look at some of the guys from last year's team that you would expect in a returning role to be a leader. None of them have really been given that opportunity. Like Tanner certainly wasn't. He was, you know, fighting for his life and barely won the job and had a short leash. You know, another guy that maybe could have been based on what he did his freshman year, Bushman, you know, he was benched basically to start the season. I just don't know if there's been a lot of promotion from the coaches on players that have been in the program to even step up and take that role.
Jordan, go ahead and respond. Give me 2 more minutes.
I see what you're saying, and I'm not really arguing. I think that leadership just comes. Like I think if Bushman over the summer or in the fall had stepped up and taken that, I think they would have let him. I think we have a lot of passive players, personally. And I don't think that they're out to get these guys. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not there. But I would imagine if Tanner or Bushman would have gone and taken those jobs and outperformed everyone, they would have got them. Something happened, and I don't know what. But I just don't feel like anyone is stepping up to the plate to say, you know what, I'm going to be a leader of this team. And, you know, we're going to get some W's here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of this we don't know. We don't know what's going on in the locker room. And, I mean, last year was such a bad year. It's such a toxic year between injury. I mean, injuries were a big part of it, but there was just a lot of politics and clickiness and, you know, preference towards, you know, certain players and things. And I think there was a lot of toxic atmosphere last year, and
this it's year here, I feel it's like here we're this getting... year though.
I mean, I haven't just, heard that much.
Just like literally just an hour ago, Michael Shelton went on 1280 The Zone and ripped BYU fans. Okay, and for the record, his comments about BYU fans are accurate. They have not created a great environment at home. But you got Fessy Satake ripping the fans on Twitter. Michael Shelton's ripping the fans. Like, our record is better than it was last year so far, but it's still a bad environment at BYU right now. Like, it's not solved by any stretch of the imagination.
I actually like that. If they're voicing their opinions against the fans, I'm better with that than what happened last year. Then at least it's them against the world type situation where they can kind of band together.
It's not them against the world, because I think that they're not even on the same page in the locker room.
I'm just not. I mean, I don't pay as close attention to you, but I'm not seeing that. I could be wrong,
dude.
You are wrong, because there were evidence weeks ago when Austin Lee was openly like, well, "Yeah, we don't believe in this defense." It's changed since then, but there's been many on the record stuff where it's like, oh, we're trying hard, but we don't. I mean, if you read between the lines, it's like, we really don't believe in what's going on here right now.
I think.
So it sounds like there needs to be an adjustment on the offense, because since then, the defense has improved. And
yes.
Anyway. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave. Sorry, we're cutting you off.
No, you're good. Sorry. First, let me just say, Dairy Queen is not a sponsor. I apologize, but they're still wonderful to all our listeners. We're not sponsored by DQ, but we are sponsored by being good husbands. And
oh my!
So happy wife, happy life. Anyways, no, I agree to an extent with your points. It's interesting. Last year I felt like there was just a complete lack of effort and belief. I feel like this year the effort's there, the belief maybe has come and gone, right? And yep. It seems like the players have talked about belief a lot. It seems like we've talked about trust a lot. Like you referenced Austin Lee, talked about trust in the defensive coaches. After the Arizona game, I remember post-game comments about, I think it was Corbin was mentioning, you know, about after you go out on the field and you see good results, it's like, well, now we can, you know, kind of trust more in our coaches and in the scheme and things like that. And so I think last year really – did a lot of damage, right? And obviously that's large part on the coaches and large part on, I'm sure, Kalani being a young coach. I feel like this year has been different. Yeah, I know the results haven't been great, but we still have matched last year's win total through 8 games this year. I mean, that already is an improvement, right?
We've
had some good offensive outputs. I mean, we put up close to 50 points in a game against an FBS opponent. Like, that's an improvement. And this year, we're a lot younger team than we were a year ago, I feel like. I mean, we're starting, what, 6 freshmen on the offensive side?
By choice, I may add, by choice.
That's fair, but also, I mean, I think these guys are good. Like, we've seen, they got some talent. Wilson, like Jordan said, I mean, dude's got some moxie, and he's got the ability. He made a horrible choice there at the end of the game. He's a freshman, you know, like, he'll learn from that, hopefully. But I think you can see that guy's got the fire, and I think he's got those leadership qualities that Jordan was saying I think have been missing. I just think, I don't know, for me, I guess my overall point, and sorry, we can move back in. I've been rambling a little bit, but
yes, you have. Wrap it up.
No, but my overall point is, what is my overall point? No, the point is,
okay, that's it. That's
I'm just
it.
Kidding. We got to give him some time. Just got to give Kalani a little time. I mean, yeah, it's year two. I feel like if he makes a bowl game this year, which he should, I think we still hit 6 or – I'm still hopeful for 7 or 8, but I think 6 wins should definitely happen. So if he makes a bowl game this year, that's an improvement over the last year with a younger team that's being set up for the future. And then next season, I know it's a brutal schedule. His first 8 games are pretty rough. But if you navigate that to 7 or 8 wins, you know, if we see some improvement next season, you know, I think it's okay. I mean, and for the Michael Shelton thing, man, good on him. Screw the fans. We have some of the worst fans
ever.
Oh,
boy, dude, watch your language.
Sorry. I mean, forget the fans.
There we go.
But seriously, like, I feel like we are notorious for just being so fair weather. I mean, our fan base – was basically the ones who were running Bronco out for giving us 8 and 9 win seasons year in and year out, and it was just too boring. And, you know, it's like, all right, well.
I never said we were too boring.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it feels like maybe it was a vocal minority, but it felt like there was a lot of dialogue about that. It's like, all right, you guys, well, you got your wish. We got a more media-friendly coach, and, like, now look where we are. We had an historically bad season last year. We're still struggling this year. And so, for me, I think this is good. It's a good dose of humility for BYU fans to, you know, maybe, yeah, get some humble pie and learn a little patience.
There's a few points I want to make. First, on the Michael Shelton thing, he has every right to say those things, and I don't disagree. I think it was a few weeks ago me and Jordan were talking about how it's hard to sit in that stadium and listen to some of the fans, and they're right. The energy in the stadium is not very good. However, the product on the field is even worse, and I don't blame the fans for not wanting to go. Call it fair weather. Call it whatever you want. It's not entertaining. It's not enjoyable. There's nothing to cheer for. I'm like, I have season tickets. I'm not going the rest of the year because it's not fun. It's not an entertaining brand of football. And that kind of segues me into my next point, which is, Dave, you talked about some post-game comments. The coaches' comments right now are really disturbing to me. There's stuff that's being said that makes me feel like it's as dysfunctional as it was last year. Like, two examples of this. I was watching the game. I'm sure you guys did. Did you go to the game, Dave, or did you sit at home?
I did not. We had some family stuff going on that day. I ended up watching.
Good casual excuse there to not
no,
go.
No, seriously, we didn't get home till like halfway through the game. So, anyways.
So, in the opening drive, I think it was Andre Ward, was the color commentator, said that he spoke to Jeff Grimes, and Jeff Grimes was like, yeah, our offense, you know, we're doing really well. By the way, they're not. They're 120th in total offense, so they're not doing well. But he was like, yeah, we're just like a good NBA team that just needs to change the point guard and we'll be rolling. That's such crap. That bothers me. That is not factually correct. And the stats have borne it out that the quarterback position has had little impact on the efficiency of this offense. You guys have both said this before, and you're right. The offensive line really dictates the success of this offense, not the quarterback. So that bothers me. And then at the same time, after the game, Kalani Sitake is like, wow, we have a really capable quarterback back there who can rip it. We need to let him throw the ball downfield, which I agree with. But that was what Tanner was known for, was being a quote-unquote gunslinger. They didn't let him rip it. And if you're the head coach, can't you fetching dictate that you open up the playbook?
Whoa,
where's the
language.
Disconnect between our offensive coordinator and our coach? It makes me mad because there is dysfunction going on there, and it's everything they say is contradictory, and I have no idea what's going on. And it makes it hard to root for them because they're talking both sides out of their mouth. They're saying all kinds of crazy stuff. It's just a mess in Provo right now. It's a mess, and it's not fun.
So I would disagree with you, Matt, a little bit here. Tanner, his freshman year was a gunslinger, but this year he was not. And there were plenty of routes that were downfield that he blatantly chose not to throw. If you go back and watch these games, there's deep routes often throughout the game, and he decided to check down. And I believe that lack of aggressiveness is why he was benched.
Zach Wilson is doing the same thing. He did the same thing against Northern. So why are we playing him? If he's no better, why are we playing him?
I would play a freshman over a senior if they're the same level. You got to gear for the future. Tanner's not going to help us next year. I would rather a freshman go through those lumps and learn and grow than continue to throw a senior out there who's just going to be safe and check the ball down.
It's not on the quarterbacks. It's the schematics. It's the scheme.
See deep routes all the time. And if the quarterbacks are choosing not to throw it, I'm not going to blame. If the coordinator calls a play that has deep passes in it and they're not open, or the quarterback decides to throw another ball, I blame the quarterback.
We got to blame somebody. The quarterback coach, is it Aaron Rodgers' fault? Are we blaming the wrong guy on the offensive staff? It looks like crap. Our offense is garbage.
2 weeks ago, they put up 49.
I would like to let the record say
ignores that game. It never happened.
You're dang right I'm ignoring that game. That was one of the worst defenses we'll play in the decade.
Yeah, but Matt, we played some pretty bad defense. I mean, Arizona's defense was terrible. And, you know, we didn't put up close to that. So, I don't know. I think that there's definitely some signs of life.
I don't know. I don't know how you – help me understand how you – what am I missing? Because I'm not seeing these same things.
Well, I don't know. I guess here's the thing for me. Like, I was glad that we struggled this game to kind of highlight that the issues that we're seeing, it wasn't a quarterback thing. Like, it's, you know – There's kind of some other stuff behind it, but honestly, I don't know. I really think a large part of it is it's based on the offensive line, right? We got three freshmen and a sophomore who are starting on that O-line, including a guy who was on the defensive line last year, you know, before moving over. And I think that that's the common theme, right? The team's had success when we've been able to establish the run. And that's, you know, been predicated on the offensive line. So, you know, this team goes as the offensive line goes. And Northern Illinois is arguably the best front, or probably, like, they're right up there, I would say, with – oh, I think Criddle actually said this. They're right up there with probably Washington or Utah as far as
yeah,
the D-line.
I mean, definitely.
Sutton Smith is phenomenal. And so, you know, yeah, we struggled against them. We struggled against Washington moving the ball. We're going to struggle against Utah and – I don't know if Boise's is quite as good, but I just think they're young, right? They've had flashes. They played really well against Wisconsin. They dominated against, you know, Hawaii when they should have. But I guess for me, that was the encouraging thing, was we showed that we could dominate a team when we should have dominated them. Whereas last year, you know, Portland State, we struggled to put up 20 points against them. LSU, we don't even cross midfield. And so – is it frustrating that we still have some of these losses? Yeah, but I mean, Utah State's a pretty darn good team. They're
yes,
ranked in, what, the top 25 this year. Northern Illinois is not a bad team. Like, that's a pretty solid team.
We haven't played Northern Illinois. Or, sorry, yes, we have. I thought you said Northern Iowa. My bad. Back that up. I'm going to cut that out.
You're good. I was about to say Northern Iowa, but yeah, Northern Illinois. like, we played, I would say, a pretty decent schedule to this point, right? And we've come out of it playing 500 ball with a pretty young squad. And so, yeah, it's been frustrating. I understand, like, it is a little worrisome, some of the things that the coaches do say. You do wonder if they're totally unified. But, you know, I'm not as worried as I was last year. I feel like the offensive staff is good. They've got experience. Things are going to get better. Kalani, I think, is growing. There's just going to be some growing pains, you know, and I think we just need to have some patience and ride it out.
Jordan?
I agree. Me and Matt actually had a similar conversation earlier today with we were in a group message with a Utah fan. And here's what I said. I said that we need to win these two games. We got to beat New Mexico State. They are terrible. And we need to revenge the loss to UMass.
Yeah.
And then I want to be competitive against Boise, which I believe we will be. The three of the last four games have been, like, I think, one-point games in Boise. I think we'll play them well. I'm hoping for a victory, but I just want that to be competitive. And then what I need to see is a win against Utah, whether it's this year or next. And then next year in those first, you know, five-day games that are daunting, I want to be at least 500 going through those. That's kind of what I want to see.
Yep.
I want to see beat these, because these two of these last four teams are bad. We are better than them, home or away. We need to put them away like Hawaii. Show some competitive spirit against Boise and Utah. We have those are weird games. We have a chance. I wouldn't bet money on us neither one, but you know, in rivalry games, and for some reason we play these guys hard. I want to see some competitive there, and Zach Wilson to grow. And as long as those things happen, I'm fine with Kalani going forward. Now, if we get stomped by Utah, which is possible, they're playing really well, and then next year we face these high-level teams that are just getting stomped left and right, then I will probably be where Matt is now. But so I'm kind of in the middle. I could be where Matt is next year, but I'm with Dave right now saying, let's be patient. We got some young players. I mean, Grimes also needs to grow. He has some experience, but – he needs to grow and understand that when the running game's not working, he needs to have a better backup plan. I would say that. Because any game that we don't rush particularly well, we lose.
We don't win. Exactly.
So
yeah.
He needs to come up with a he needs to have a backup plan. I'm good with setting up the run. I'm a believer that, you know, a good throwing game can be based off of a running, you know, a solid running game first. But when that doesn't go well, he needs to learn and grow and develop a better backup plan. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, that has kind of been one of my complaints, I guess, about Grimes this year. Is it felt like, you know, for the first few games we'd establish this identity, kind of ground pound doing the fly sweeps. I feel like we really moved away from the fly sweep a lot more recently, and I also,
because it's not effective. That's why.
I don't know. I feel like it's been all right. But the other thing that really bothers me, why were we running so much against Northern Illinois when we knew the strength of their defense was in their D-line? Now, granted, I know that, you know, Wilson was getting pressured a lot, but then why not just run some quick, you know, routes? Like, they have tiny DBs, and, like, they're pretty weak in their secondary. It just bugged me that it felt like we weren't really game planning, where we should have been throwing the ball, like, 40 times against Northern Illinois, and we didn't. You know, we kept trying to run it, and just, you know, we're not seeing success. And so I agree with Jordan. I think that is something that Grimes needs to learn how to do, to adapt to his opponent, and yeah, agree to come up with a backup plan when his initial, you know, attack is not effective.
I would add to Jordan. I mean, I'm much. How do I say this? I mean, here's the reality of the situation. Kalani's not getting fired this year, so it doesn't matter if I want him gone or not. But to kind of twist, not twist, but what would have to happen for me to have an open mind in terms of giving more time. Is all the things Jordan mentioned, plus I just can't stand being a bad team at home. Like, I don't care who the coach is, what college football we're playing in, we have to be better at home. And so that can't really be, you know, the last 2 years we've been below 500 at home. If that happens next year, I don't care what happens in the Utah game, I'm totally closing the door. I'm giving him more time. Like, the performance at home is just straight up unacceptable. I thought Andrew George made a great point on Twitter about the home record. And he was like, you know, and this kind of goes hand in hand with Michael Shelton and Fairweather fans, but Andrew George said from 2007 to 2009, LaBelle Edwards Stadium sold out every game. They didn't play great home games. They were in the Mountain West. But they played an exciting brand of football, and they won games. That's what's going to get people like myself back into LaBelle Edwards Stadium. So it's like, that to me is almost the most important thing in terms of getting the program back on track is home games, guys.
Is
that it?
Sorry, Matt, you were kind of,
that's the end of the pod.
No, you were kind of breaking up there. Was it just me, Jordan? Were you?
No, he was breaking up pretty good.
Okay.
I got the gist.
I heard every word.
Yeah, the gist is
I heard every word. It was just kind of broken up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an interesting question because I think it's kind of like the chicken and the egg a little bit. Where obviously, you know, to win at home, like, you want fans to be there and bring energy, but for fans to be there and bring energy, you have to win at home, you know, or like you have to win. And so it's I don't know. I think it's a two-part responsibility. I mean, I think that there's an onus on the coaches, obviously, and the players to deliver a product that is entertaining and engaging and that's going to be successful. However, I think that there is a responsibility for the fans to have patience with their team and to just try to show up and bring in energy. Because I do agree with Shelton. I mean, the energy has been lacking recently. And obviously, yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand with that success. But again, with Bronco, I feel like the 8-9 wins were coming and it felt like fans were getting anxious and it wasn't enough for them. So I think it kind of comes along. Like, fans need to be realistic, I think, with some of their expectations and still just try to be supportive of their team as much as they can for those home wins to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is a topic we're not going to agree on probably, and we won't really have a consensus until the middle of next season on really what, how long is long enough, and what's happened over.
Matt, whoa.
What?
Sorry, you're really breaking up. Sorry.
Still breaking up?
Oh, that's a little bit better.
Okay, sorry. I don't know if I'm in a bad spot in my house or what, but I'm just saying, you know, we could talk about this every week until the middle of next year, and we might, but, like, we, you know, as you guys have said, time will bear out who's right here. You know, maybe more time does right the ship. Maybe more time highlights my points even more. So we'll see.
I think it's fair.
All right, moving on to something else, because I just want the Boise State game. I guess we can look forward to that. What would you like to see from this game? I don't think BYU is going to win, but what would you like to see? What would make you happy, win or loss, from a BYU performance?
I would like to see creativity on offense, defense, special teams. You're going into a hard place to win against a good team. And this will be the same answer for Utah. I want to throw out all the stops, creative blitzing, creative play calls, flea flickers. I mean, I just want to see an abundance of creativity to go out and steal a win where you're an underdog on the road. I think we can get that on defense, and we've seen flashes of this on offense. They usually have like one play a game. I want to see, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, big plays, being creative, maybe a fake punt. I want to see creativity, just pull out all the stops to try to upset a team that we probably should lose to.
I agree. I want to see aggression, like Jordan was saying. I mean, yeah, taking shots. I'd like to see the offense put up at least 24 points on the road, which I feel like
– No way.
That's pathetic saying that. But I'd love to see that, because I think if we do, we'll have a shot. I think we can against Boise. I don't think this Boise team is as strong as in years past. I don't think they're as strong on defense. I think they've given up a bunch of points. If I remember, I mean, they've given up what? Like 30 points, it feels like, over the last like couple of games. Like they're a few games. Maybe not that many. But I just don't feel like they're as strong as they have been years past. But especially on the defensive end, I want to see some aggression. Getting after the quarterback. Forcing some turnovers. I think we're one of the worst teams in college football in forcing turnovers.
Yeah.
And I would love to see – and obviously I think it's because we play really passive, or at least we have on defense. You know, we haven't – brought that pressure as much. And so I'd like to see just some aggression. Mostly echoing what Jordan said, I'd like to be competitive. I'd like it to be a game where we have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. That's not to say that we come out with the win, but, you know, at least having a shot. That's why with Northern Illinois, I know it's Northern Illinois and people are going to complain, but that's not a bad team. I mean, they're really bad on offense. Like they're not good on offense, but that's a legit like top 25 defense. And it sucks that we lost, and it sucks the way that we lost. But we had chances to win it. And so for me, I was like, yeah, that's okay. It still sucks that we lost, but we at least had a chance to win there at the end. We had the ball in our hands with a chance to win. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping to see at the Boise State game.
You know what? I mean, I don't disagree with what you guys have said, but what I would love to see, this is going to sound crazy, but I would love to see BYU you guys are going to give me crap for this, but I'm just going to say it. I want to see BYU go down in a ball of flames, but I want to see it done in the right way. Like, I'd love to see a 5-interception Zach Wilson game, but where we're taking 10 to 15 shots down the field and balls are getting deflected and they're getting picked off, but we are being creative. We are being aggressive. And if that turns into a win, great. But, like, I just can't stand to watch this stinking dunk crap anymore. I want us to open up the playbook. I want us to – even if, you know, there's people covered downfield, I don't give a rip. Throw it downfield. Let's not be conservative. You know, I feel like the only game this year where we were semi-aggressive was the Wisconsin game. We did some interesting stuff in that game, and it panned out. And we haven't really seen that creativity in doses since then. And so I don't care what the result is. I just got to see a different brand of offensive football. And I don't even care if it results in five turnovers, because it kind of sickens me that we can only commit one turnover in a game and we can't win the game. It's like one turnover is the death nail. It just shouldn't be that way.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that.
I would celebrate. I would praise them next week if they came in, committed seven turnovers, but they were aggressive, creative stuff. And so that's okay with me. What's not okay is a 2 yard out to Dax Milne. Oh, he's tackled. Second and eight. Let's run up the middle to score like Canada. Oh, stuffed. You know, third and eight. Oh, we throw it short to Micah Simon for 4 yards and punt. No, you know, I've had a.
I know that one of the three of us disagrees with this, but I really believe that Kalani got involved before the Hawaii game on the defensive side. And I'm hoping, based off his post-game comments of, you know, we're not playing BYU brand football and offense, you know, on the different comments he made, I'm hoping that he gets more involved in the offense, you know, goes to Grimes, goes to these guys, and, you know, whether it's light a fire under them or like, hey, you know, we got to get the ball down the field and kind of persuade them to do that. That's what I'm hoping to see. I think he will.
And I would take it a step further. It's not I want to see us throw the ball down the field. It's we have to throw the ball down the field. You have to script in to the offense 5 to 10, 20 yards or longer passes. I don't care what the result is, but we've got to find a way to stretch it. It can't be, oh, let's run a play call and oh, it's not there, so we'll dump it off for a yard. Like, you just take chances. It's football.
Right. Yeah. Switching gears just for a minute, if we can. I'm kind of curious to get your guys' take on – I know we talked about Kalani being a bad coach, right, or struggling as a coach. I think he's actually a pretty darn good coach on the field as far as some of the decisions. Now, he's had some questionable decisions, but one of Bronco's big knocks was his time management, right, and how he uses timeouts and things like that. And I actually felt like Kalani did a great job and has done a good job of that throughout his coaching career and did so again this last game against Northern Illinois. I know I've seen some people comment on us not going for it from, you know, when it was 4th and 4, 4th and 5, you know, a few minutes to go, like 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter or something. He chooses to punt. But, I mean, it worked out perfectly. He scripted it perfectly. He used the timeouts perfectly where – BYU gets the ball back in good field position with 2 minutes to go and one timeout. I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Is Kalani, do you feel like he's a good on-the-field coach?
I don't know. I can't say yes. I can't say no. I can't criticize that part of his coaching. I mean, that's not where my complaints lie. So I guess he's done a fine job on in-game management.
Oh, that was painful for Matt. Those words, I could feel the pain. I think I like his passion on the sidelines, and then I think that his time management has been great. I agree with the punt. There's no way we're getting that 4th and 5 with Zach Wilson. I think you give the defense played great. Honestly, we should take a second real quick. The defense played awesome. I was looking at the stats. 89 yards rushing and 100 yards passing. I completely agree. Punt the ball, pin them deep. Our defense is going to stop them. Yep. Get some momentum. That will build momentum. You know, a quick three and out. And you know what? Zach was under a lot of pressure and threw a bad ball.
Yep.
The O-line played, we
haven't talked about this, but the O-line, that's probably the worst game I've seen them play. It was pretty hard to watch. And granted, Northern Illinois is really good, but
yeah. You know what's stopping me from giving more credit to the defense is I just don't want to see Elisa Tuiaki at the school next year. Because I mean, you guys are right; the defense has been a lot better, but I just still don't believe he's the guy, even though he's made adjustments and we've been better and he's doing everything we ask. I just don't have that long-term belief that we have a great defensive coordinator here.
We'll have a better idea this Saturday. This is a good offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
You're right. So is he – sorry to cut you off, Dave, but is he still auditioning for his spot in your guys' eyes, depending on what he does against quality teams?
Yeah. I think – are you talking about Tuiaki or Satake?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been nice to see. And honestly, the Hawaii game, that was a big feather in his cap, I think, because that Hawaii team's a good offensive team as well. And they did as good a job as, I think, containing Hawaii as anybody's done this year. I agree. I think Boise State just is a more complete team than Hawaii is, and so it'll be interesting to see in a game where our offense will be struggling to move the ball, how the defense holds up. But, I think he's definitely taking steps in the right direction. I mean, you know me, Matt. I was the biggest Tuiaki hater ever, but I'm coming around. Like, these last couple of weeks, I've been impressed. He's actually blitzed, which is great. He's brought some pressure.
If that is the baseline for coming around, then well, no, you the baseline for
coming around, he held an opponent under 200 yards of offense, then he held another opponent, like, 150 yards under their passing.
Guess what?
Average.
Every other team NIU played all year did the same thing to their offense. They're bums. Gosh. That offense is.
You were unbelievable. I know that offense is terrible, but I don't know. I mean, it's nice to see a BYU team like this year's team actually take advantage of terrible teams, unlike, you know, the East Carolina last year with the worst defense in college football.
Yes.
Hawaii had a terrible defense, and we took advantage of it. You know, that to me is why there's more hope this year, where the team is actually taking advantage of other teams' weaknesses in games, like at certain times and in certain games. They're still struggling in areas, and again, I believe it's just because they're a young team, but that's why I feel like there's cause to be optimistic, Matt.
I guess we'll find out in a couple of weeks. November, maybe you guys are right. Maybe I'm right. Maybe we need to have the first segment of every podcast going forward is where we were right and where we were wrong, each of us from the previous podcast.
I was wrong about Utah State. I'm sorry that Utah State fans.
Matt, question.
Holy cow, they're good.
Yeah, speaking of being right or wrong, do you feel like you were wrong maybe on your assessment of Utah? I feel like Utah is looking more like the team I thought they would. However, I'm still not sold on this Utah team.
I think that I am, but it's more a reflection of how abysmal the South is.
The South is terrible. I will say I think, and I know this sounds crazy, but I don't think it's coincidence that these last few games where they've exploded – I think they played some of the weakest teams, and I'm throwing USC in there. USC is just crap, man. Like, they are a horrible team.
Yeah.
And I think this was the weakest portion of their schedule. And so, like, credit to them. They took advantage of it. Obviously, it seems like their offense has turned a corner. But you talk about bad defenses. They've played some bad defenses, too. And so I think that these last four games in November will tell us a lot more about Utah as well. I mean, I think this is kind of the meat of their schedule. They got ASU, Oregon, us, and then I'm spacing on the other team they've got.
I cannot put us and meat in the same sentence.
Wait, what?
You can't refer to Utah getting to the meat of their schedule and throwing us in there.
BYU. Oh, I throw us in there because that game has always been close. Like, historically, even as horrible as we were last season, that game we still somehow had the ball in our hands with a chance to win. You know,
that is very true. That is often forgotten. Our finest performance was a Utah loss.
I'm picking Arizona State to beat Utah. By the way, I would throwing that out there. I think this is a trap game for them. I think they're going to go down.
Why?
I like Utah. I think that I'm wrong. You know what is interesting is I'm hoping this isn't the case, but it's starting to feel like maybe they have found their offensive identity. It's the end of year two for Troy Taylor. Maybe the system is sinking into place, which I hope is not the case.
You know what happened?
But that could –
They put the offensive line coach.
They gave him some time.
They put the offensive line coach in charge of play calling. Like,
really?
Troy Taylor,
really?
I mean, he calls the plays, but Harding, their run they're on started with Whittingham giving Harding a big chunk of responsibility with play calling. So
hey, there you go. That's what we need to do. We need to yank the play calling from Grimes. Let's take a page out of Whittingham.
Again, I think it helps when you play two of the teams that rank in the hundreds in total defense in UCLA and Arizona.
Yeah.
And SC just right. is not the SC of old as well. I mean, their defense obviously isn't great. But, yeah, I mean, to their credit, again, they've been taking advantage of it. It seems like – I don't know. Again, I'm not totally sold on them, but that's just because I hate Utah. And so I want to believe that I'm just looking forward to see if we have the annual November collapse for Utah.
I'm predicting it.
I hope so. I'm rooting for
losses to Arizona State, Oregon, a tough game at Colorado, and a loss to BYU.
Let's go, Jordan. Yes.
Matt.
I want no part of that. I'm sorry.
To the knee of Kalani Sitake, begging for forgiveness.
I would love to, because you know what? You know what that would mean? I had fun for once this year, so I would gladly beg for forgiveness if I could just have a little fun.
Two fun games, maybe three.
One.
Hey, quick question.
Arizona's pretty fun. Wisconsin was pretty fun, and Hawaii was fun. The rest of them not.
I think I got to say Wisconsin is still – I know that they are not the dominant team that we thought they were going to be.
Speaking of being wrong, I was wrong in saying that that's the best true road
that's
win in program history.
That's still a good
that was,
road win, man. Like, it
– Yes, but it's not the best
and
road win we've ever
it's
had.
It's still up there. I mean, you think about true road wins, like, that's still probably going to be up there for BYU. It's still pretty impressive. We didn't know at the time that they maybe weren't as strong as – people thought they were going to be. And so, I don't know, man. I think that's still a pretty impressive win and a lot of fun.
I'm not saying it's not impressive. I'm just saying you can't really say it's as impressive as we once thought it was because, unfortunately for us, Wisconsin is not quite as good as we expected.
That's true. I think that's fair. One final question. I know we got to wrap up.
All right,
but a
final
quick
question.
Look ahead to BYU basketball. Are we allowed to do that?
Ooh, yes.
What do you guys think of this team? What are your predictions, I guess, for this team?
Jordan?
Oh, no. Beat all the bad teams, please. That's all I want.
Yes.
Beat Pepperdine. Yes. Beat Santa Clara. Please, these guys with high school gyms, just go and beat them. That's all I ask. Be competitive in all the the tough games we have. I would love to beat Utah. I think we will. We play them around, even though. But just go into these high school stadiums or arenas and just beat these guys. We're more talented. We have better coaching. We can't have these letdowns.
Do we?
I think so.
Well, we'll find out this year. I know that Dave's going to jump on me for this one. I think it'll be another typical year in BYU basketball in which we have 20-ish wins. We missed the tournament. I do think the big difference between this year and the last couple years is I think we're going to be more entertaining. So maybe that will help me stomach some of the losses a little more. But I think that we have absolutely no inside presence and we are incredibly undersized and thin at the forward and center positions, and I think that's going to kill us. But I think we're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And so I'll be very happy if we run up and down and shoot a lot of threes and play in some close games, and maybe we miss the tournament. I'm more okay with that if we're playing a entertaining brand of hoops.
I actually think, Matt, if we hit 20 wins or 20-plus wins this year, that's pretty darn – impressive because we have a pretty impressive schedule. And so if we hit 20 or 20 plus wins, it either means that we did well in our non-conference or we did beat all the crappy teams on our schedule in conference.
Yeah.
And both of those things would be improvements, I think, over the last couple of years. So I would say I agree. I think that it should be an entertaining style of basketball. I think we may – have some size deficiencies. I don't think it's as terrible as you make it out to be. I think we've got big enough boys there who are athletic enough to make up for some of the height.
Who?
Dude, Worthington's fine. He can body up with the biggest dude on the other end. And then Yoli.
He's gonna be on the bench every game at the 18-minute mark. Like he has might been be, but I'm two quick fouls,
if you want like someone to, you know, match up, like we got, you know, Worthington's pretty good. What's his name?
What about the 4-star kid from Idaho?
Yeah.
Lee?
Yeah.
He's big.
Kobe Lee, yeah, he's a big dude. Like we got some height down there, and then Yoli is gonna be one of the best, I think, one of the best fours, best power forwards in the nation.
Yoli's going to be fantastic, but he's an undersized four, and against bigger teams, that's going to be a problem.
He'll be fine against the majority of teams that we play, especially at the college level. Like, I think he's got enough athleticism to, you know, help balance out any height deficiency he may have. But I think it'll be a good team. We'll see. I mean, I'm actually really curious to see this team. I think that this team should have a lot of talent. Some of the, you know, arguably, what do we have? 8 or 9 guys that were 4-stars coming out of high school on this team?
I was just going to ask. My final question was, is it acceptable for a team with that many 4-star guys to not make the tournament?
I think I would say, like, no. Normally, it's not acceptable. Sorry, yeah, no. It's not acceptable except that – you just got to throw the mission in there. And when you got Colby Lee and Gavin Baxter and Connor Harding, who are all 4-star kids who are all playing their first year of basketball in, what, 3 years? Like, you know, you kind of qualify it a little bit. But
plus the Emory suspension through a third of the season.
That one kind of hurts. But, yeah, so I think – I don't want to say this because I've been saying this for like the last, it's, you know, I've been saying the last couple of years at BYU, but I feel like next year.
Oh, no, not this.
Which isn't the case because Yoli's gone after this year. So that's been the biggest issue with BYU basketball, is just their continuity, man. We just cannot get players to stay, which may be a reflection on Dave Rose, which may be a topic for a whole other podcast.
It is. It definitely is. Yes. Jordan, final word, hoops.
It's unacceptable. I want to go to the tournament. Let's go.
Thank you. I'm with you.
I want to win out in football. I'm back. It's unacceptable. I want to win out in football, and I want to be a top 10 seed in this tournament. All right? That's what I want. Might not get it, but that's what I want.
Good.
I do agree, though, that BYU should, I'd say 75% of the time, we should be able to go to the tournament. If we – get a couple non-conference wins and take care of everyone in the WCC and maybe split St. Mary's and Gonzaga. That should be enough to get you in. We just haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Man, I need to learn how to be succinct like you guys. I am so long-winded and rambling, but it's really just because I want to give our listeners the opportunity to listen to the dulcet tones of Dave Mattson. So...
We need to get a mute button, Jordan. And when we're just sick of hearing it, we can just beep, mute and continue on with our conversation.
Well, when he agrees with me, it's fine. But when he disagrees with me, that's okay.
All right, guys. Well, hopefully we have some positivity to talk about from the Boise State game this next week. Everyone knows I need it because, man, I'm trying to withdraw from that positivity banking account, and it's just nothing is in there. I guess someone's got to deposit some positivity.
I think we will.
24-17
BYU. This is Zach Wilson's coming out party. You heard it here first.
Wow. 31-28
BYU. Let go.
5 interceptions. BYU loses. That's
Matt wants explosion, but everyone's fired.
Yeah, exactly.
I want explosion and throughout the program, not just on the field. Complete and utter explosion.
Wow. Unbelievable.
All right, guys. Thanks for jumping on. Always a pleasure. I can't say I'm any happier, but it is entertaining and I appreciate it.
That's all we could ask for.
Life is good, Matt. Life is good.
It will be once the Lakers right the ship. Yeah, right now, it's all bad.
Why are you calling for Walton's head to be fired? I mean, my goodness. I mean,
seriously.
Their record's worse than the Cougars.
Because he's doing things that I agree with.
Losing?
That's why.
You agree with losing? All right, cool.
I agree with some of the more subtle changes, tweaking with the starting lineup, that kind of stuff, you bum. I can't help him play defense at the end of games. That's not Luke Walsh's
fault. You know, he's breeding a culture of violence. You know, guys
he
are throwing punches.
Rage on
bad coaching.
On everybody, yeah.
I support Rondo.
Oh, my
100%.
Gosh. Unbelievable. He probably supported Ingram, like, shoving Harden, too.
I can't condone that. That is crossing the line. That was – I can't condone that. I hold on. I condone him shoving Harden. I don't condone throwing a cheap shot at the end of the fight. But I would love to shove Harden and Chris Paul every day if I could. Can't stand those guys.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. Have a great Halloween with your kids. Enjoy the trick-or-treating.
See ya.
See ya.
See you guys.
Bye. All right. See you guys. Bye.